This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
Episode 194, Human Roombas. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a beautiful Games at Work day, ready for some fun, exciting talk with my friend and co-host, Michael Martin.
Woohoo! So glad to be here.
That makes two of us.
Because if and I wasn't here, I'd be there.
Yeah.
And not anywhere.
Well, not just two of us, but thousands, millions of our listeners around the world. Thank you for listening to the show and for providing all the incredible, fascinating feedback that you do in the various social ways you can reach us on Facebook and on Twitter or on our website at gamesatwork.biz. Anyway, so we've got a really exciting set of things to talk about this week. And Michael, you and I, before the show, we're talking about the latest news about Amazon. And I was thinking, you know, from our last show and your experience with your HomePod, this is kind of extending that world, again, by Amazon, not by Apple, in the home automation with their acquisition of the company Ring. What do you think about this? What have you been reading?
Well, I find that this is another case of the connected home factoring prominently in with Amazon and Google and Apple and more. So the Ring doorbell has been one that I know the people who have it absolutely love it. I mean, they think it's great. It's a high quality camera that allows you to interact with somebody that is trying to get your attention and come in and or get you to come to the door. So I thought it was really interesting that Amazon said, hey, we're going to get this. And I thought it was also really interesting that it's already integrated in with, I guess, some of the Alexa skills. And the opportunity for facial recognition and saying, oh, it's a member of my family, therefore unlock the door because I recognize their face, and potentially then, you know, a la if this, then that, send a message to say that, oh, so-and-so just arrived at home and thought you might like to know. It's a really interesting thing to be able to combine all those elements together, integrated around a platform, and then have the virtual assistant Alexa let you know what's going on.
Well, what I found interesting is, and I was listening on a couple of different podcasts over the last few years, because they've all been big benefit tours. They receive benefit from Ring.
Beneficiaries.
Thank you. Beneficiaries. Yeah, that's a word. because Ring has done a lot of advertising in the podosphere over the last few years, targeting the techies who love the home automation, who are playing around with the new stuff. And there was a story they were talking about, gosh, the last couple of years, about neighborhood safety in those neighborhoods where there are a lot of Ring doorbells, and how that data and those signs can actually get a safer neighborhood because people go, oh, they're filming. And so if multiple houses in the neighborhood have it, there's better video coverage of the street, which may have a net positive impact on neighborhood safety. Now, of course, that's marketing. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand it. What I do find more interesting, however, is there are a couple of different players out there that are doing home security cameras with facial recognition. And I wasn't positive that Ring had enabled that feature yet. So that would be interesting.
Well, I'm not positive either. I'm just speculating where it could go.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's a couple of ones that specialize in that. And what they do is they send you an alert when they recognize a new face. And then you can say, I'm okay with that face. That's a member of the family. Or that face is okay during these hours. Right? Because let's say you have a cleaning crew that comes into the office and you kind of know who the cleaning crew is supposed to be. So you say it's okay then. But if they come in, you know, at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night, they shouldn't be there. So there's interesting use cases along that. I do find it interesting, too, that Ring is really kind of pushed into that almost, I want to call it a prosumer market, because it's a high-end consumer play. I mean, the basic doorbell is just $180, right? And they have kits that provide, you know, front and back cameras and auto-turned-on lights, et cetera, that are in the $500 to $700 range for the equipment. And then they immediately try to upsell you to recording the video, which, of course, data transiting to the cloud is expensive. Video is lots of data to transit, and the storage is cheap, but getting it there is expensive. So, you know, these are data plans basically that are like $30 a year to store the video for some period of time, which is really cool if you want to go back and play and say, oh, who was the person who actually delivered my UPS package? Why was, and it's funny, I got a, are you familiar with, CyberClean and other products for like cleaning your electronic gadgets?
No.
So it's basically, do you remember Goo as a kid?
I do.
And Slime,
that,
right?
The game, right?
Well, no, it was Slime, right? It was just this gooey, nasty, slimy, mucky crap that you could, like, let me see if I can make the sound here. So, you hear that?
Yes.
So that's goo. Anyway, so I ordered some to clean my AirPods, you know, get all the overtime wax might build up around the netting, etc. Well, it shipped, and basically the company that shipped it in a bubble wrap bag. Mm-hmm. And it's a plastic container of this stuff. And it looked like someone had just put like 30 other containers of like heavy objects on top of it and crushed and shattered the entire container.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I open the bag and there's like all these shards of plastic and a big gob of goo. So to kind of circle back to the Ring, it'd be kind of interesting, you know, did that happen when they threw it on the front porch or shoved it into the mailbox? Or was it in transit so that when I contact the shipper, the manufacturer, and say, hey, I need a replacement product. This one's busted, especially because this stuff dries out over time and you need to keep it in this little container. That would be interesting to have, and why these doorbells like that are kind of cool. And why you might want to pay for the data service to keep the data around. But I agree. I think, you know, tying it into the other services are interesting. I always wonder the use case they talk about of, hey, sorry, I can't come to the door. I'm in the bath. Just leave the package.
Yeah.
How many people really do that? And if you're always in the bath, why would they leave the package?
Right. Well, there's another variant to that, too. I mean, it'd be interesting for you to be remote. So wherever you are, you could interact with somebody who's at your front door from your mobile device and have that conversation. So that's interesting.
Well, yeah. But that is the key, because you're not really in the bath at that time. You are remote.
Yeah. Right. You really are remote. But here, imagine this, right? I'm Amazon. I provide insurance on the goods that I'm shipping to your door. And I can see, because I know, because the camera is watching the delivery, I could even scan the barcode from the package and do validated, verified delivery at your home and location that it was delivered.
Yeah.
Right. So you could do that. You could also do something a little bit more that says, okay, well, who picked up the package potentially? Right. Did the door open? The package then was removed from the porch and the door was closed again? Interesting, right? So, well, now we know that. Or if, what's the language I've seen before? You know, people who come and take packages and off of other people's
thieves.
Porches. And yeah, thieves. That's the word I was looking for. You can track that too. And now you have a video record that if that happened from your Amazon packages, or frankly from anybody else's too, you can now connect in with law enforcement or, you know, neighborhood facilities like Nextdoor and others to say, hey, this is a problem.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of very interesting
things. Well, it's funny. If you think about it right now, Amazon's been buying up shipping containers and shipping routes, right? They now have something to confirm the delivery, as you said. They could partner with or leverage self-driving cars to make the delivery.
Or drones.
Or drones, right? And slowly, all the points that are currently done by a person picking up the package, putting it in a thing, having a person move the thing, another person pick up the package and put it at the door, get automated away. And so, you know, same day delivery with zero human interaction becomes something that they can actually track and validate. And the fact, absolutely, as you say, that you picked it up.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting things that can happen here based on the other businesses that Amazon's in right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, speaking of cameras and interesting things you can do with them, you found this article actually from Adweek, about brands doing cool things with apps and AR. So take us through this one.
Yeah, I mean, this particular article from Adweek really focused on mobile devices and what companies were doing with their mobile enablement for consumers, and several different examples around Home Depot, Goat, Sephora. What was the other one?
The Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, so there are several different ones, and I'm really intrigued and have been for a long time around mobile. And the summary of the things that work the best on mobile is toward the end of the article. And what I really am liking here is the notion around augmented reality and experiences that also relate to personalization. So, you know, of the five, those are the three that kind of got me the most. The AR example. So Sephora is a makeup company, and this beauty brand uses methods. That's what they're calling it, right?
Not just a makeup company. Okay. It's like a buggy whip manufacturer versus a transportation company.
Thank you for the correction. Anything else?
I just think, you know, it's funny when companies, and everybody does it, right? How you position your brand. They make makeup, and they sell makeup. Just like a basketball franchise, they sell entertainment, right? Or do they sell basketball? Or do they? What do they sell? What is the brand of a basketball franchise?
Wow, that's an interesting question. For me, sports engagement is a major thing. People care about that sort of stuff pretty intently. So
back to Sephora.
The AR example here that I think is really intriguing is that when you're trying to leverage beauty products and being able then to use a mobile device so that you can see it, that is super intriguing to be able to do that, to essentially try out the products on yourself via a mobile device. So I thought that was really intriguing. And according to the article, there's more than 8.5 million visits to this virtual artist feature that the mobile app enables. Thought that was just super cool from an AR experience. That's a little bit different from the typical AR experience. And then, you know, there are other ones and they're worth thinking about too. But the AR aspect relates super nicely too to an article that you found around one of our famous and happy themes, the Ghostbusters.
Yes. Yes. And this was actually announced earlier this week at Mobile World Congress. This is Google's showcase app that's supposed to come out later on this year, sometime in spring of 2018, for their AR core platform. But basically, it's Pokemon Go style hinted at in the gameplay, because they actually don't show you any of the gameplay. They show people getting in their Ghostbusters costumes, getting their... what were their devices called that they used to capture the ghost? The proton packs?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. So getting their proton packs ready, etc., throwing out the ghost trap, and then they show it land, and it's a Pixel phone closing the little thing that captured the ghost. So the basic idea is I'm pretty sure they're going to show a game that's a lot like Pokemon Go, where you're going to use AR to capture the ghost somehow. But kind of reminds me of Pokemon Go. The question is it like first generation Pokemon Go, or does it really take advantage of AR Core to do some really, really cool things? I hope so. I hope so. I'm excited about this. I'm a big fan of the Ghostbusters franchise. I really enjoyed the one that came out a couple of summers ago, and I know you're a fan of the space too. And I was trying to get what's your perspective on it. What did you think of the video?
Well, I liked the video, and it really did feel in a lot of ways like Pokemon Go. So it's going to be the same kind of experience where the AR kit or the AR structure within the Google environment is not necessarily linking the ghost to a plane or a surface, at least not from what I was seeing in the video. And that would make sense, right? Ghosts float around, they do what they do. So I think that the angle will be a gotta catch them all. You know, you're going to find ghosts in your general environment. We've seen games like that before, more horror versus humor. And this ought to be fun, right? This ought to be fun, and getting people to go out and catch ghosts, and maybe they'll have an exercise component to it as well, like Pokemon Go did.
Well, I really like
it. I'm actually more intrigued about what could happen with the Harry Potter examples that we've talked about before. I think that could be even more intriguing.
But I think it's really, I mean, you made the point of, you know, locations for ghosts and stuff. And if we tie that back to the branding app and the fact that one of the key things that are going on in branded store apps around geolocation is wayfinding, right? And the ability to map out a shopping mall or a park or an office complex, and then use that data to provide wayfinding. I could really see them doing cool things with the Ghostbusters app in order to get more relevant content data for wayfinding in events and entertainment parks and things of that nature.
Well, right. I mean, there could be the instance of the Venkman's tricorder-ish sort of thing where you're using that function to find where the ghosts are and it leads you there. And then you swap out for the proton accelerator and put them in the trap.
Yeah, well, think about it. The leading you there part, what if they have gaps in the lead, and those gaps in the lead are where they're trying to find the most efficient routes from a wayfinding perspective. And you get, you know, 1,000 people going into the mall, going from the Sephora counter, right, to the Sacramento Kings fan shop. And so going between those two locations, what's the most efficient way? Well, people will naturally go the most efficient way. And if you put markers along the way, that would validate or improve your wayfinding for routing in the mall.
Right. And you're using human Roombas to map out what the mall interior looks like. Yeah.
I think that's a great title for this show.
It could be.
This is episode 194, Human Roombas.
Human Roombas.
Anyway, so what I really found interesting as we were kind of going through setting up the show was a couple of weeks ago, I was having some problems with my 3D printer, and I still need to clear out part of the jam in order to keep doing this again. But I was looking around, we were, you know, thinking about AR and VR and other things, and I found this article about a kid from France by the name of Maxime Coutte, I don't know how to say that, C-O-U-T-T-E apostrophe thingy, accent mark, who at the age of 16 released his own open source virtual reality headset designs that you can print with your 3D printer, and with like $50 worth of parts, build a full VR headset.
Yeah, that was pretty cool that he managed to do it.
And this is, you know, pretty high-res monitors built in. The thing that I thought was really funny is when he started working on this, he was reaching out to a couple of, startup and venture people. They're like, no, you shouldn't try to turn it into a business. Just take it out open source and drive the passion. So it'll be.
Well, he didn't want to, though. That was the thing. You know, the article was saying that he didn't want to have the hassle of starting a business for this.
Yeah, but at the same time, Oculus was a Kickstarter that sold for what? How many billion?
Yeah, well. he's what is he, 14 or 16?
He's 17 16, now. He started programming at 13. At 16. And he sent it out at 16.
Right.
So, I'm hoping to be able to play with this sometime soon. It looks like it'd be a neat little project, but I really find it interesting. You know, something that had that high value just a couple of years ago is now again being kind of gobbled up by open source. If this thing takes off, and I wish the kid a lot of luck because I know there's a lot going on with AR and VR as we've talked about on this show, having a good entry point that is competitive and good enough. It'll be interesting to see how well this is when I give a try to actually create one. So, very cool. Very cool. Sorry. You found, speaking of all this.
No, I'm just giggling because I went down a little bit further. Yeah. On the next web page. And there's one here that says someone made a VR experience where you're George W. Bush in a bathtub.
Painting your toes?
Apparently so. I guess that's what happens. There's a famous
painting. One of his first paintings was of like being in the bathtub looking at his feet. What I try to do, just, you know, here's some behind the scenes super secret knowledge while we record these shows, is I try to put every one of our articles in reader mode to get rid of all the other cruft that shows up on the screen. And so I don't see those little things that you link to.
Just happened to see it as I was scrolling down. That was pretty funny.
Cool. Anyway, so speaking of cool AR, but in a practical sense now, we've talked about a couple of times motorcycle helmets with AR, and you found a link this week about the new helmet from LiveMap.
Yes, and to me, the motorcycle helmet is a fantastic example of a head-up display that will work from a augmented reality experience. You've got a built-in screen. You've got something that will move around with your field of vision. It is not like you're wearing a pair of ski goggles that are blacked out to the world around you. So it feels right in many respects.
Well, it's interesting.
Here's an example from CES 2018 of current latest greatest version of what it might be.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about this, if you look at the design, I mean, you pretty much have a Pico projector at the chin, and that Pico projector is projecting up onto a clear...
angled piece of plastic.
Yeah, I was going to say a monitor, but it's not a monitor. It's literally a screen that is going to capture the image. It's a design that just makes sense.
Yep.
It's kind of like, you know, you think about, oh, I've got to design these really high complex, laced with wires and sensors and everything into the visor itself. No, you just need a little Pico projector. Very, very cool. I'm sure it's not an actual,
which is
just
super
a Pico
similar
projector.
To the email. No, but that reminds me of the email you sent me, too, of that one particular watch Kickstarter that we both invested in some couple of few years ago that uses a Pico projector to project information on your hand and wrist about what time it is and social media messages and stuff like that.
Which still hasn't shipped. And it was Indiegogo. As a matter of fact, I actually sent a note to them because in the article that I sent you, which was higher, I think, is the company that does high-end watches. That was trying to take that watch and turn it into a peak projector for them. I was like, they referenced the one that we did. And they actually have a link to where you can go, quote, buy it on their website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even though it doesn't sound like they're shipping yet. So I sent a note to the guys. I'm like,
are you shipping?
Hello? Is anybody in there? Hello?
Yeah, I bet that you'll get a real rapid response to that.
Yeah. So we got one more link to talk about real quick. You had found this on micro podcasting. And yeah. That's the end of the show.
And that is the end of the show. So Facebook apparently has now something called voice clip status updates. So just like we have microblogging in Twitter, you can now do micro podcasting in Facebook by saying something like, "Hi, I'm doing great." And that's your status update.
Isn't that just like, so are they posting the audio? Because to me,
what it looks like. Yeah, I
mean, you can do this with Siri. You can do this with Google. You can pretty much say, "Hey, post on my timeline," blah 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 blah, and it converts it to text. And yeah, so it does. It adds the voice clip. So here's the question for you. You know, messages on iOS, and I think Google Hangouts or Google Talk on Android, one of those will allow you to basically text a little audio clip to each other. How often do you use that?
Extremely infrequently.
Yeah, because it's easier to just glance down and read the message somebody texted to you instead of glancing down, pressing the button to hear the audio, right?
Exactly. Or when there's a voicemail, the transcription is easier to read too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I get why they're doing this. I think it's a great way to test out natural language processing and improve your recognizers or to say, hey, they said, which meant I'm going to the ballroom, right? improve your speech to text. But I don't think it's going to be used that much. But I could be wrong.
Might be. Who knows? Who knows? All right. So as we're winding things down here, Michael, you played anything recently?
Nope.
Join the club. I'm right there with you.
Yep. It's well, right now I'm playing with this CyberClean stuff because I keep making squishy sounds. So it's as fun as like being in a box as a kid. A cardboard box. With wrapping paper.
Thanks to our listening audience. As yes, you said,
and if
you're off the show.
Playing anything interesting, why don't you drop us a tweet over at Twitter at gamesatwork_biz. Bye.
Hear from you. See ya.
You've been listening to gamesatwork.biz. The podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.